Chapter 30. The Third Rail. Trial Day 4. Paul Duffy on the stand. He wore a blue blazer, rep tie, and gray flannel pants, which was about as formal as he ever managed to dress. Like Jonathan, he was one of those men it is easy to imagine as boys, men whose appearance almost forces you to see the boy inside. It was nothing particular about his physical features, but a boyish quality in his manner. Maybe it was just the effect of my long friendship with him. To me, Paul remained 27 years old forever, his age when I met him. For LeJudas, of course, that friendship made Duffy a slippery witness. At the start, LeJudas's manner was tentative, his questions overly cautious. If he had asked, I could have told him that Paul Duffy was not going to lie, even for me. It wasn't in him. I would have told him also to put down his ridiculous yellow pad. He looked like a goddamn amateur. Would you state your name for the record, please? Paul Michael Duffy. What do you do for work? I'm a lieutenant detective with the Massachusetts State Police. How long have you been employed by the State Police? 26 years. And what is your current assignment? I am in a public relations unit. Directing your attention to April 12, 2007, what was your assignment on that date? I was in charge of a special unit of detectives assigned to the Middlesex District Attorney's Office. The unit is called CPAC for Crime Prevention and Control. It consists of 15 to 20 detectives at any given time, all with the special training and experience required to assist the ADAs and local departments in the investigation and prosecution of complex cases of various kinds, particularly homicides. Duffy recited this little speech in a drone, from rote memory. And had you participated in many homicide investigations prior to April 12, 2007? Yes. Approximately how many? Over 100, though I was not in charge of them all. Okay. On April 12, 2007, did you receive a phone call about a murder in Newton? Yes, around 9:15 a.m. I got a call from a Lieutenant Foley in Newton informing me there had been a homicide involving a child in Cold Spring Park. And what was the first thing you did? I called the district attorney's office to inform them. Is that standard procedure? Yes. The local department is required by law to inform the state police of all homicides or unnatural deaths. Then we inform the DA immediately. Who specifically did you call? Andy Barber. Why Andy Barber? He was the first assistant, which means he was the second in command to the district attorney herself. What was your understanding about what Mr. Barber would do with that information? He would assign an ADA to run the investigation for their office. Might he keep the case for himself? He might. He handled a lot of homicides himself. Did you have any expectations that morning as to whether Mr. Barber would keep the case for himself? Jonathan lifted his butt 6 inches from his chair. Objection. Overruled.